You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, I'll tell you, we're going to have Brother Nichols and Sister Lou come up. Sister Lou wants to say a few words, and I'll tell you, let's honor them. Would you stand and give them a warm welcome, Brother Harold and Lou Nichols? Hallelujah.
I'll go first to them because when he gets started, there's no stopping him. I hope we get to eat lunch today. Pastor and Brenda, you kind of stole what I was going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. We met them for the first time in that building downtown upstairs. And Brother Nichols was preaching. I think he brought the quartet to sing. I can't remember. But anyway, we just kind of fell in love with them. And so we talked about them quite a bit the next few weeks. Brother Nichols said, you know, I don't know where they're going, but he said, there's something in that young man that I feel in my bones, he said. He's going to do something great for God, and there's going to be a real work in Willsport, and he's going to be respected of the whole community and going to be known of the whole community. We never told you that, but he told me quite often that that's what he felt in his spirit. So we've just and we've followed their ministry all along and how the church has grown. And I remember one time when the finances kind of got bad. I don't know the details, and I don't need to know, but anyway, he went to Dallas and got him a job. Drove back and forth to Dallas and worked every day, took care of his family and took care of the church, and it just got on his feet and still going. And I thought, that's so much like Brother Nichols. You know, we've had some lean times too. And when I was 37 years old, God blessed us with twin girls. And so we ain't got time to have those girls. We didn't have the money.
That year, I preached on the double portion.
He hadn't preached it since either, I'll tell you for sure. Well, see, we had our family, we thought. We had a daughter 14 and a son 10, and now they could take care of themselves, and I taught Jen how to cook, and she could drive the car and take care of everything. We could take a trip and go somewhere and not even worry about it because they could take care of themselves. Well, then, accidentally, we had twins. And so Brother Nichols got out and got him a job and built a room on a house for somebody, and somebody else wanted something. Anyway, he worked out and paid the hospital bill and the doctor bill for the twins because there was no insurance to. Yes, we had a little bit of insurance too. And the insurance paid double too. That was good since it was twins. God. And those twins have been the biggest blessing in our life. I didn't want them. I cried the whole 9 months. I was sick the whole 9 months. I didn't want them. I said, God, you got me mixed up with somebody else. I'm sorry. Somebody else wanted the baby. It wasn't me. But you know, today, we retired 3 years ago, I think it was. And Carmen, one of our twins, and her husband are now the pastor and his wife of our church. My baby twin, the one that was the smallest, Carla, was the choir director for several years, and they've just worked for the Lord all their life, and so they've been a blessing to us. But now we're talking about forget about what all I've said. I'm going to talk about the pastor and his wife. How blessed you are to have them, and how blessed we are to have them for our friends. I'm just sorry there's this much distance between us, so we can't have the fellowship we'd like to have. But we still love them, and we believe in them. And we know that God's going to take them even further. This is what they've said about it, Brother Nichols and I. The last of our lives is going to be better than the first. So I'll say to you today, the best is yet to come. And we believe that. Now, Brenda has asked me to share something with you that I shared with her. Dad, you just sit down there for a minute, okay? I shared this with Brenda earlier because I was excited about it. And she said, now you share this with the congregation. I want to tell you what's happening. What is he doing? I live with that every day. Brenda Brenda wanted me to share this with you because I shared it with her. In Fort Worth, Robert Howard Brown is there in a meeting at Calvary Cathedral, Pastor Bob Nicholas's church. The church didn't do this. Brother Brown came to town, and it's his meeting. It's an outreach. It is soul winning and nothing else. And last night, it was on Daystar all over the world, I think. And if you didn't see it, I'll tell you that they announced last night that from Monday until yesterday, last night, they had had 14,000 conversions. Can you believe that? Now listen, this is one-on-one. This is not a massive group getting saved, you know. And you believe that was how many it was out there. But they have addresses and telephone numbers if they had one. And they had 100, 250 to 300 people on the streets every day, Monday through Saturday to today. They were there this morning at 9 o'clock and at 10 o'clock. And it's just phenomenal. I'll tell you, that church is really on fire. I want you to know this. And it was a simple thing. I'm going to try this now. They have a little thing printed out about like this for the scriptures and what you're to say to lead a person to the Lord. And they just go down the street, or they go into they've worked in nursing homes and in lots of places. But anyway, they're on the streets, parking lots, Walmart. They really hit the Walmart stores in Fort Worth, and I don't know what else. But anyway, you just walk around, you see somebody, and you say, excuse me, could I have a few minutes? You tell me, yes. Well, how are you today? I'm just fine. Well, listen, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? Do you know you go to heaven right now? No. Would you like to know? Well, yes. Well, I'll just tell you how. And you just read this, and then you lead him in the sinner's prayer. And I just have to give you one testimony, and then I will hush. This guy said he was from Oklahoma City. He was a pastor from Oklahoma City, just ready to lock the doors of the church and quit. And he said, He came down here for this meeting. Well, he was at a nursing home or someplace where this man was from World War II in a wheelchair. He couldn't walk. And when they went in, there's three or four of them going in a group, but they pair off. You know, when they go in a place like that, he went in one room, somebody else went in another room, You know how it is. He went in this room where this one man was in this wheelchair. And the lady said to him, he won't talk to you. So he said, hello there, brother. How are you? Well, he said, you know, World War II, yes. Well, we're brothers. I was in Vietnam. So that makes us brothers. And he kind of warmed up to him and got to talking to him finally. And he finally said, now, brother, if you died right now, do you know where you would you go to heaven? Do you know you'd go to heaven? No. Would you like to know? Yes. Well, listen to me. He led him to the Lord. And so he left the room. He went outside to meet his friends that was out there working. And he said, all of a sudden, he just wiggled that wheelchair out of that room, came out there singing Amazing Grace as loud as he could. And one of the workers said, what'd you do to that man? What'd you do to him? He's never done this. He said, I led him to the Lord. He's born again. And you would have any more trouble with him. And when they left there, he was still going up the other hall singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Isn't God good? Amen. And he can do the same thing in Wills Point, Texas.
Hallelujah. Thanks. I used to just jump down those, but you know. Hallelujah. Glory, I've been putting up with that for 65 years. It doesn't bother me. I just took a little nap while she was doing that, and I'm really ready to go. Well, I've got some good news for you.
Praise God.
When I first saw you, you had brown hair.
Yeah.
25 years later, you got gray hair.
Yeah.
I got good news for you. After 25 more years, you won't need a comb. Hallelujah. Well, the devil's mad. We're glad. Hallelujah. Amen. I like to make the devil mad before I start preaching. The anointing of the Lord is on me to preach the gospel. Heal the brokenhearted. Amen. Set at liberty those that are bruised. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, well, that's what's going to go on. So if you want to stay and listen, okay. And if not, go somewhere else. We refuse to listen to him. Shut your ears away from the devil and listen to what God has to say from his word. Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" Simon of Jonah, he said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, you're Jeremiah, and one of the prophets." But then Jesus said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Hallelujah! And Jesus said unto him, "Thou art called Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We're in a winning battle. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he didn't say, "Peter, I'm going to build it on you. You're a little rock. Jesus is a big rock."
Yeah, that's right.
He said, "I'm going to build it up on this fact that I am the Son of the living God." That's what your church is on right now. That's the rock, unmovable rock. And thank God the devil can't do anything about it. Already been accomplished. So I'm going to preach this morning on the glorious church. Oh, aren't you glad to be in church? Hallelujah. It's a supernatural church. The church Jesus is building is a supernatural church. Not made up of natural human beings. It's made up of our born-again spirit. It's on the inside of us. This glorious church without spot or wrinkle, I couldn't get in that one as a natural person. But my spirit has been cleansed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible says it cannot sin because it's like God. Amen. What a church. What a church. Thank God one of these days we're going to get a body suitable for our born-again spirit. Then we're really going to be somebody. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What kind of a church is this? Well, you drive down the street there. It says International Outreach Church. Oh, Fort Worth? No. Done that on purpose. I love this church.
Amen.
It's a good church. What kind of a church is this in the eyes of God? God sees it as the glorious church of Jesus Christ, where people are saved, where they're healed, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Where they're delivered from oppression. Where we're blessed with all manner of spiritual blessings.
Amen.
And I believe God maybe had a little spiritual sign out there that said, "Beware, Satan, they cast out demons here."
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's the kind of church this is because it has the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Holy Ghost moving in this church.
Amen.
For 25 years, this church had been a lighthouse to Will's Point.
Yes.
Now, when I was here and going to school, they didn't have anything like this here.
Yeah.
No, we had a better church in Elmo than they had here. If it had been a church like this, I'd drove all the way down here. Glory to Jesus. Your labor and sacrifice has not been in vain. I watched you grow in the grace and favor of God. I've seen your faith reach out beyond logic. I know that you love him, but I know Jesus loves you. He loves the church. Hallelujah. He doesn't love things in this city, but he loves the churches in this city where people are getting born again.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad to be a part of the church?
Amen.
Now, the Baptists down there are born again. They're part of this glorious church.
Amen.
The Methodist is part of this glorious church. Yes. Everybody washed in the blood of Jesus. We all have a different role and a different part to play. But I'll tell you, when we finish this up, we're going to be a glorious church. Hallelujah. Forever in the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
Believers are the glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes the church glorious? The glorious gospel it proclaims. The glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. Our glorious resurrected bodies. And the glorious name of Jesus. God's eyes are over his church. He's not too interested in what's going on out in the sinful world. He's watching the church. That's an apple of his eye. See, she's the apple of my eye. I watch her. I don't watch everybody else. They can do what they want to do. But I take care of her. Amen. Amen. That's what God is taking care of His church. Hallelujah. Amen. His eyes is upon you. Hallelujah. If He's on the sparrow, He's on you too. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:25. Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. Why? That He might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of the Word or the blood. That He might present it unto Himself a run-down, weak, frail church, overrun by the devil. No, a glorious church. Glorious. Everybody say, glorious church.
Glorious.
Hallelujah. Say, I'm part of it.
A
glorious, victorious, triumphant, eternal church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. That it should be holy without blemish. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God for part of the church. Aren't you glad you're part of it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm a Pentecostal spitting preacher, so I'll stand with you. Well, Jesus, help me.
Thank you, Jesus.
All that is born again, sinneth not in the spirit, but by the, in the flesh. But we're working on that. We're always being conformed into the image of Jesus.
Amen.
One of these days, we're going to walk side by side with Him. He's our brother. Hallelujah. Cleansed and washed. He made us that way. We didn't make ourselves that way. He made us that way.
Amen.
All believers, dead and alive, are part of the glorious church.
Amen.
Now, I may say a few things here. Your preacher may have straightened me out on, but I got a right to preach what I believe. Glorious church.
Amen.
Wonderful church. There's different seasons we have more of the manifest glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
Doesn't make the church any more glorious. It makes us more glorious.
Yeah.
He's not working on that. He's working on us.
Uh-huh.
We're already glorious.
Amen.
We are in His sight. He made us that way. Now we have times of more revelation. I guess that people say this is the most wonderful time the church has ever had. Amen. But it's not the only time He's had a good, wonderful church.
Yeah.
I tell you, in the 50s, while some of you were still in the cradle, I tell you, God was moving. He was a-moving. I tell you, in the 50s and the 60s, we had some outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You remember some of that. Hallelujah. We wasn't afraid to come to church and give a message in tongue interpretation. Wasn't afraid to get up, you got a word of prophecy, and speak it out to the people, that people might be blessed and edified and lifted up. I'll tell you, we're living right now in an area where a lot of the places are hush, 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 hush. Let everything go just right. We don't want to run nobody off. You're not going to run nobody off. It's hunger for God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on.
Obey the Lord,
amen.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Obey the Lord.
Amen.
That's all things. I'm not going way back there, but I'm trying to tell you there's always been a glorious church. Some of the new generation, oh, this is it. This is a glorious church. No, it's been glorious ever since the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And it's still moving. Hallelujah. Oh, but we want to be so quiet, we don't want to run nobody off. I tell you, when we started our church, we had a little man come to our church. He was a crackerjack, man. He never said anything, but he sat way back here, somewhere maybe that long here. My thing was going good. And Spirit of God hit him. He'd jump right straight up. Woo! Hallelujah. He'd run up here, turn around and run back and sit down. That's all he'd say. You know the day he did that? My mother-in-law. She was there. I prayed that morning, God didn't hear me. Made an impression. I don't know what kind, but this generation is reaching the harvest of seed that's been sown for years and years and years. Creflo Dollar went to Uganda, had a great revival, come back, thousands of giving their testimony, thousands coming into the kingdom of God. Many, many came every night. Benny Hinn went to Uganda. He had a great revival. Man, as far as you could see, it was people. He said, oh, look what happened. Look at there. How glorious that was. I'll tell you what happened. Why that was there? There's a church in Fort Worth. Built a little TV station over there in Uganda 10 years ago. And these preachers have been preaching on that little TV station. And these people became known. And because they were known, the people came. Who? Where was the glorious church? Way back there is where it is, way up here. God, no respecter of person. There'll always be a glorious church. He's just working on the people. He's working on the people to get us right. This is a time of the glory of God, a great outpouring. But it'll come in much you will receive. Pouring out from heaven, much you will receive. Glorious things are things filled with the glory of God, which is goodness and kindness and grace and mercy and love and favor and supernatural things. Hey, supernatural things. And His manifested presence. You know, might well went to lake over here and fishing. Hadn't been for the anointing of the Holy Ghost here this morning. But you're going to leave this place refreshed. Wasn't you refreshed by this preacher preaching? Yeah. Glory to God. Yeah, hallelujah. You got a lot more years. Just keep plugging, brother.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, come on, yon jashi, come on, de ekili bahaka, o koryanda la mahati kili baka. There is a refreshing, a new refreshing. There's a rushing of joy, like you had uka ura flowing up, gonna flow up in through you. Just gonna let it out. Urata ye kala bahoshika. Praise the name of the Lord. Hanamone kili anda ha ha la bako shikaya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus Church is a powerful church. Indestructive, eternal. The devil can't stop it. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He can't stop the individual church, and he can't stop the church worldwide.
That's right.
So we're moving on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. What kind of glorious gospel? Amen. Nothing like it nowhere. Never has been. Never will be no more but one gospel. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is glorious. Why is it glorious? Because Jesus is the head.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're hooked onto the vine. That's Jesus. You know why this man, this woman, what they are? Not because they came from Center, Texas or Houston, Texas. No, but it's because they hooked onto the vine. In the same line in the vine running down through the branches. He's conforming you. He's conforming you more and more into the image of His Son. Hallelujah! Glorious gospel. Glorious gospel. Jesus is ahead of it. This glory comes from the head and flows right on down through the church.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. What makes the glory, the gospel glorious? By grace. Are you saved? Through faith. Not of works. I'm so glad it's not. It's not of works.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Most everybody's tried that. It didn't work. They tried it for 4,000 years before Jesus came. It didn't work on anybody. So all everything we get from the grace of God is because of His goodness. Because what He's done. The church is not glory because what we're doing is what He did. And what He's doing. And what He's going to do. That's why it's a glorious church. It's glorious because our sins are forgiven. Washed out. Buried in the sea of God. Forgetfulness. Far as east is from the west. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said don't go fishing in a dark blue sea. Try to get your sins back. They're gone. Why is it a glorious church? Because He clothes us with His righteousness. His righteousness. I found out this week when I was studying about the church, and I found out about a new church. Started way back. The first church was a fig leaf church. Covering up his own sins with fig leaves. Ever since then, there's a lot of fig leaf churches. Anybody that leaves out the blood of Jesus Christ, that's what it is. Everything else covers it, kind of soothes the conscience a little bit, but nothing will take away that guilt like the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One church, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for a good church. All but blood-bought churches are fig tree churches. They ought to put that out on the sign, you know it. Some of them might be proud of it, that's what they're preaching. The gospel is glorious. Through the church, we become partakers of His nature.
Amen.
And His character.
Yes.
Boy, if you're not partaker of His nature, His character, you hadn't got saved, you might have been the meanest old guy in town right now.
Yeah.
We're always like, we're born in sin. Sin was after us. But oh, thank God for a new nature.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
New desires.
Hallelujah.
New ambitions. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Boy, when we got same filled with the Holy Ghost, it changed us.
Yeah.
Changed her more than it did me.
Yeah.
Boy, that's the best thing the Lord ever done. Filled her with the Holy Ghost. Nah, keep it shit all that. You know what she liked to do? Would drag me to see him. She liked wrestling matches. She likes to see him get up and he's on his head and just squeeze her head, break the arm like this. She'd just, hur, hur, hur. We did that in Fort Worth. That was our number one thing. She thought it was real. Yeah, she thought it was real. Finally found out all put on, the biggest part of it anyway. Everything put on but Jesus. Hallelujah. Nothing's going to satisfy. I don't care how good you think it is, how fun it is, what everybody else thinks about it. Jesus is the only one who's going to satisfy you and give you a good and a happy life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's a privilege to proclaim the glorious gospel. Not a job, not a challenge. It's a privilege. So that's why I'm not ashamed of it. That changes lives. The gospel changes lives. That's the good part. The church is not glorious because of what we do, but because of what Jesus did and what Jesus is and because of what He does.
Amen.
So no man can take glory for what goes on. All goes to Him. The gospel is glorious because it reveals the Savior's love. It's glorious because the gospel reveals life and death and resurrection. It makes the glorious gospel, knowing about these wonderful things that God's given us. It's glorious because by the gospel we become sons of God. Sons of God. Who would ever thought 80 years ago when I was a little kid down in Elmo, I'd become a son of the Almighty God, the Most High God. Hallelujah. Become a brother of Jesus Christ. Ooh, hallelujah. Devil had plans, but God had plans. Thank you, Jesus. The gospel withholds no good thing from us. It's a good gospel. Hallelujah. I like that little song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. You need that song wherever you go. I have not getting much of a friend, but I've been on the board with him a time or two. He's a U.S. Senator, John Hall. Not John Hall, but it's Hall. What's his name? Ralph Hall. John Ralph Hall, yeah. I know him real well. And every time we'd have a meeting, he'd said, Preacher, I want you to pray. And I prayed one time. He was talking. He said, now I want to talk to the rest of this board here. He said, if all of God's people were supposed to be Christians, if they had tithe, the government wouldn't have to take care of the poor folks. He said, one day he said, I'm in my office sometime. So many problems, so many things come to me. I just shut the door and make it quiet and start singing, Jesus loves me. This I know. Some good things goes on up there. Wish we could see more of it. Gospel, I'll tell you, it's for everybody. Everybody. Behold, what manner of love the Father has for us that He calls us a son of God. When are we a son of God? Right now? What an honor. What an honor. You know, I never was ashamed of my earthly father. He was a sharecrop farmer, cotton farmer right down here, right out of Elmo this way. And I never ashamed of him. We were poor, but he took care of me best he could. He worked hard. He is a deacon of the Baptist church. Everybody say, deacon of the Baptist church.
Hallelujah.
And he was elected most all time, being on the school board and doing things like that. I never shamed him. I had two brothers, and sometimes I'm kind of ashamed of them. They didn't feel right sometimes, but they're still my brothers. But I tell you, I got another brother. Hallelujah. Everybody know what his name is?
Jesus.
I've got a heavenly Father, and you know I'm pleased with it. You know what he said in the Bible, talking in the Bible, you know what he said? He's made me heir with him. What does he own? Everything. He said, no, you got access to everything. Just follow my instructions. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We're all new creatures, born of God, with his love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5. There is no substitute for the glorious gospel. Did you ever go to the down to pharmacy and they got a prescription there and they're going to give you about 20 pills and they say, that'll be $150. And you say, do they have a generic?
Yeah.
Do they have a substitute, something cheaper? There's a lot of substitutes for the blood, but it's too cheap.
That's right.
It won't get the job done.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I don't want no generic church. I want a blood bought church. Full prescription, glory to God. Titus 2:14. Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself a peculiar, strange, holy people, zealous of good works. Everybody say, that's me?
That's me.
You're strange. You're peculiar.
Yes.
But you're supposed to do good works.
Amen.
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 Now, religion changes people. Won't change people. But the gospel will.
Yes.
It's a glorious gospel.
Yes.
I won't go much on that, but he does a lot of change in the people's lives. Of course, Apostle Paul, he is the chief, he's a sinner, and look what a change he made in him. Now, his life just shows that religion won't do it. Boy, he was educated in religion just like all about above his peers a lot of times. But he was not satisfied. Oh, he had a wrong kind of spirit within him. But it took Jesus just boom, boom, that long to change him.
Yeah.
Shine the light on him. What is the light? It's the gospel. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The gospel light changed him all the way around.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I believe everybody gets born again, gets a change. You may not recognize it too much, but if you keep seeking the light, you'll see a change in your life.
Yes.
Some come gradually, come all, maybe all at once, but the gospel changes people.
Amen.
Changes people. Hallelujah. It changed Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was like the IRS. Nobody liked him. And to much that he climbed up in a tree and he wanted to see Jesus. He had a hunger. And you know the story? He came down, got saved. Jesus went to his house. And here's the change made. And I wish it happened today. Everybody would get saved. He said, now, Master, if I've cheated anybody, he knew he had. If I've cheated anybody anything, I'll pay him back fourfold.
Yeah.
Whoo, glory to God. Now,
that's change.
Aren't you glad that's not an example? You have to follow. So it's just so many of them, I'll pass those up. Hallelujah. Did I get changed?
Yes, you did.
For the bad?
Good.
Good. Hallelujah. I think I've told my story here, so I'll not tell it again. But I'm a holy roller. I preach my holy roller here. I'm not going to do it now, but I'm a holy roller. How many holy rollers we got? Now, don't lie. God sees your hand. What a holy roller means, you roll. Hallelujah. I was 30 years old. Got the baptism. Now she tells this. I kind of lost consciousness somewhere in it, but this kind of goes in my story, I guess. I'm just talking about Jesus in a little bit. I was on my knees, and you know, I'd already had my hair all torn up. And I just called Jesus, 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 Jesus. And all of a sudden, Holy Ghost came on me, and I fell out on the floor and began to roll. Didn't have one as nice suit I would right now. She said, I rolled, with a little bit of church, I rolled nearly this wall, and I rolled back a little bit. Speaking in tongues, singing in the Holy Ghost all the time I was doing that. Amen. Change me. Change me. Now, let's get this part, and I'll go on, Father. I never did testify. Never had been in church all my life, you know, different time. Not in Pentecostal, brother. I'd never stood up and testified. I was real shy and real bashful. And so... I was elected president of an adult class in that Baptist church I was, and I was supposed to give a 2 or 3 minute devotion among the whole crowd. Then the whole church came together, around 500 people or maybe more in the auditorium, and I was supposed to give a little devotion. And that the Thursday night before that, when I got the Holy Ghost. I got up there, she said I used 23rd Psalms, I think, and began to anointing hit me. Now listen, you don't have to go to school. You don't have to go 4 years of college. You don't have to go 4 years in seminary in order to preach. And it's good to go after you learn to preach, which I didn't. Glory to God. But I was able to preach. I preached about 10 minutes. And here come this pastor out of his office. He walked down there, stick his head out, wondering what's going on. I didn't. Well, I finally just sat down. But here's what happened. People said, some of them said, that's the first miracle they'd ever seen. We got to change my life. She was in charge of the... She's always in charge, even at home. She was in charge of the early service and the adult service. And she had somebody to preach about an hour or so, and somebody was to preach every time. You know what she had nerve to do? She said, now you're going to do the preaching. When I got home, you're going to do the preaching every night. And I started out right then, preaching every Sunday night at Baptist church. Preached there for a year. Hallelujah. Didn't know anything much. She wrote out my sermons longhand while I built houses. I was working as a carpenter, then built a house. And after about that length of time, she said, I'm not writing them out no more. You don't ever look, you didn't even look at them when you get them. I was sure glad when I found out I'd get along without her. She's good. Hallelujah. You know, I just preached myself happy. Now, where was I at? Who am I knowing? The gospel is foolishness to... The gospel is glorious to us believers, but foolishness to those who believe not. That's happening today, man. People think it's foolish. The glorious gospel produces a glorious church. Can you have a glorious church? They should preach the glorious gospel. Hallelujah. The unsaved world, which is the Eastern religion and the New Age and Islam and all of those, you know, they're against us. They're going to try to mop us out. Do you know in America they're working right now trying to get rid of the Christians? You know why? They're afraid of us.
That's right.
They got a right to be afraid.
That's right.
We're going to win. Hallelujah. No question about it. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, our King of Kings is coming. He's a coming. I'll tell you, he's going to straighten this thing out. He's going to show who's Lord, who's mighty God. He's going to reveal himself to this whole world like he never has before. What a day we're looking forward to. Glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. There's nothing to compare with it. I'm glad I'm in line for it, aren't you?
Amen.
Waiting for it. People are hungry for something, you know? They lined up big lines to get Harry Potter's book. Harry Potter. I don't even like the name. Could have been Harold Potter. Besides, that's about that thick. Thicker than my Bible. Doesn't have anything in there that's worth reading. Now, I hadn't read it, but I know by the title. It doesn't say Holy Book, does it? People are hungry. I'll tell you, they're hungry. When the last Star Wars picture come out, now if you don't go see Star Wars, I'm not against Star Wars. I didn't go because I didn't have time. Star Wars, you won't see it, all right. But people stood in line hours in order to get in. I said that to say this. At Believers Convention in 2 weeks from now in Fort Worth, we can look out our window. We usually go there, and that's kind of our vacation. We go there and get a room in a hotel, and we can see the front of the thing. By 7 o'clock, they start lining up. By 8 o'clock, nearly around the block, several entrances. They don't get in until 8:30. There are still people, you listen to me, there are still people hungry for the gospel. Keep preaching it. Keep preaching it. They're out there. They're out there. We just got to let them know that we're the servant of the Most High God, and they can cash in on what we have. Oh, thank God for the day when they'll start lining up for the church. Hallelujah. I have to wait to open my doors an hour ahead of time because they got to clean up from the last time you was in here. Glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we might live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope, that's the resurrection, and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. What glory there is. Glory to God. I tell you, nothing to compare with it. The glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day that'll be. Amen. When my Savior I'll see. And I look up on His face and behold His saving grace. What a day. And it's going to be real.
Amen. Amen.
It's not fictitious. Nobody wrote it but the Holy Ghost. It's going to happen. You ready? Everybody ready to say, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glorious appearing of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I better hurry along a little. Don't tell them to cook that barbecue a little longer. I make notes now. I used to didn't preach with notes. That's when I was younger. I just had a little card, you know, preach like you do, didn't have to have any notes, but you add about 50 more years to you. Hallelujah. Now, Satan offered Jesus the glories of this world. He's still offering it. Most of the people are after the glory of this world. But oh, it's nothing compared to the glory of this world and the glory of Jesus Christ. Oh, the what He's got to offer. Many have already accepted the devil, but I tell you, we can get them out of the mess that they're in. People are still hungry for the things of God. They're coming up here. Jesus is getting closer and closer and closer. You know that, you're a prophetic man. Man, it's getting closer. Hallelujah. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to live like He's coming tomorrow.
Amen.
But you're still supposed to live like He's going to live out your lifetime.
Right.
You don't slow up.
That's right.
No man knows the day and the hour, but we know it's the season. Jesus is going to be pretty long in God's book, but He's coming.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies and fashion like unto His glorious body. Hallelujah. You know, like the other preacher, I preach a lot of funerals. I know I preach over 500, more than that. This is a point now. This is a point. I'm usually the last one to see the person before they close the lid the last time. Biggest part of them are older people. Old looking, wrinkled, white hair or no hair. Frail body, lying there. I got to thinking, those saved, they're coming out of there. What's it going to look like? And I'm fixing to tell you. Anybody want to know?
Yeah.
This is Harold Nichols' doctrine. I love it, so. So, if you want it all right, you can go ahead and believe what you want to be. Don't give a whole lot about it, you know. After I got to preaching and moved to Fort Worth years and years, there were some old men down in Elmo I knew when I was there. They never went to church. Never went to church. I began to work on them. I started coming down here. I'd come to visit my sister, and then I'd come on down, and I'd visit them in Elmo. One of them was named Mr. Pettigo. He was about 80 years old. And he used to come down the road where we live, and he'd ride on a horse. And he had a 45, and he'd shoot that thing up in the air and just curse and going down the road. That old man got sick, and, you know, wasn't going to last long. And I heard about it. I went down there where he was. Went to his house out in the country. Talked to Mr. Pettigo. told him about the love of God, told him about Jesus, told him about getting saved, and he prayed a sinner's prayer.
Praise the Lord. Praise
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The old mechanic there in Elmo, he never went to church either. He was on his deathbed. Been going maybe a month or two had left. So I went down to visit him. Talked to him about Jesus. He was hungry. He knew he was going somewhere, but he didn't know where. I told him where he's going if he didn't get right. He made a choice. Most people will when they're facing a choice. I won't go through all of them, but the last one was 87 years old, and that was just about two, three years ago. I'd been visiting him 4 or 5 years. And he's up in the 90s then, and he's hard. He lived a good life. A lot of times people live a good life. It's hard to win. And I'd go down there and talk to him, give him literature and give him things to read. But something would happen every time he had some older people, something would come in and keep us from finishing the job. I did that over and over and over. You know, I did that one day. And then about a year ago, talked to him the last time before he died. He said, "Preacher," I said, "have you made yourself?" I said, "have you gotten right with God yet?" He said, "yes." I said, "what?" I said, "I just pray every day for Jesus that He's coming into my heart, into my life."
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Now they're old. You see, they're old looking. Their life was spent. I was wondering, how am I going to see them when they get to heaven to greet them? Now, when Jesus was raised from the dead, He is about 33 years old. Now that's all. Bible I've got to go on. But I found out from somebody smarter than I am that the DNA, it stops growing and maturing between 28 and 30. We're all identified by DNA. You could be in the grave for 500 years and they dig up a little bone or a fingernail or anything and they could determine who you were. We've all got a DNA. Every one of us is different. You get the point? God knows who we are individually. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's got us marked.
Yeah.
So if our DNA rules us and runs us, what are them folks going to look like? Well, let me tell you a little story. I heard this of Van Impey. He's a preacher. He called it a joke. I can make a story out of it. He is an Amish farmer. He said to his son, "says, let's hook up the buggy and let's go down to town and let's see what it looks like. We want to see what that town looks like. You've been out here all these years in the country by this. Let's go out there and see what it looks like." So they got to the big town and they parked their buggy and went into a big mall and began to look around. Finally, they saw a door open back in the back. And here came an old lady with a cane. She walked, got in the door there, and door shut. And they just kept standing there looking. About 2 minutes later, the door opened. And here came out a beautiful young lady. Come on. Now, she looked like an old cripple run down somebody. Hallelujah, come out of there looking like that. You know what that daddy told his boy? He said, "Run, son. Get your mama quick." Amen. You get my point? What's it going to look like? Huh? Now, this one here, she's 84. And I'm going to take good care of her and watch over her and see if she gets what she needs, you know. But she is getting older. You ought to see the picture I got when she is 32 years old. I got a big picture this big. I keep looking at it because that's where you're going to look when you come out. God is interested in eternity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A glorious church. Glorious body. Nothing lacking in us. Hallelujah. I'm about through. You said good.
Oh, I thought you were doing good.
Psalm 72. Jesus' name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. Blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the earth be filled with his glory. Hallelujah. The earth is filled with his glory. It's filled with his presence. He wants to manifest himself. It's full of his glory. I've got news for you. The earth is full of the joy of the Lord. The angels came and said, behold, there is born this day a Savior, and with great joy. Said people had great joy.
Yes.
The glory, the joy, the peace. Jesus brought peace. It's still here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just got to turn on the right frequency.
Right.
Get a hold of it. Glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name, Isaiah says, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Most High God, on and on. Gabriel said, Mary, thou shalt call his name Jesus, Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
None of this is possible without Jesus. For he shall be great. Another person said, and save the people from their sins. Glory to Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby we may be saved, said the Apostle Paul. Mark 16 verse 15. Jesus said, talking to you. In my name, you'll cast out devils. In my name, you'll speak with new tongues. In my name, you'll take up serpents. Trample on all the deadly things, deathly things. That means you shake off the devil if he gets on you. And you lay hands on the sick. And they recover. Anybody sick? Anybody sick here? Oh my, I'd hope one sick person would be here. I wanted to pray for you. Boy, you're doing a good job. Don't need me. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Hallelujah. What a name. Savior, healer, provider. Jesus. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will give it to you. Jesus is a sea walker, the blind man healer, the leper cleansing man of Galilee. He's my soul savior, the one who died for me. He said, take my hand and follow me.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
When I used to sing, I sang that. Can you believe it? Do good to quote it now.
Sing it, you can
do
it.
Sing it, you can do it. No, I better
not. Okay.
He's the sea walker, blind man healer, leper cleansing man of Galilee. He's my soul savior, the one who died for me. Take my hand and follow me. All my friends and my relations will be there, I know. All my blum, will be too. I told you I'd make a mess of it. I'll close it with this. We can be gloriously saved. You know that, don't you? Wave your hands. I'm gloriously saved. Not partly saved. I'm gloriously saved. You can be gloriously forgiven, gloriously delivered, gloriously restored if you need restoring, gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost like it did on the day of Pentecost. You can be glorious healed. When? Today. Now. Before the sun goes down today. Hallelujah. Because we have a glorious, glorious church and a glorious gospel and a glorious resurrection. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. God is so good. Lord, I bless this church in the name of Jesus, that it will continue to walk in a greater glory than they ever walked before. I speak a double glory, double manifestation of the power of the living God, that the fire from this place will reach way into the city of Will's Point, way down every alley and every nook and every corner. Every house of poverty, every house of riches, they all need it. Lord, we can't do it. They can't do it themselves. But oh, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I'll get out and do the thing he laid on the heart to do. Thank God for an increase. Thank God for a great harvest is on the way. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Amen. Amen.